At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Understanding your mindset and understanding that what you think has an influence on what you do, and that consistency and that habit formation, that's where I think a lot of people struggle. And really focusing on mindset, especially that growth mindset, that there's nothing you can't do. Maybe you can't do a pull-up today. I mean, you didn't think you could do a 70.3 3 years ago.
You are here for a reason, but navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human. Hello, humans. I am your host, Dr. Yami, and I am so pleased to be with you today. Thank you for subscribing, rating, reviewing, and sharing these episodes. We greatly appreciate your gift of time and effort. To be human means to be open to evolving and embracing new identities as you follow your intuition throughout your journey in life. My guest today, Dr. Daphne Balcom, has a very interesting journey that has led her to become passionate about plant-based nutrition, fitness, and empowering and inspiring others. Daphne Balcom, MD, PhD, is a health coach and chief operating officer with The Vegan Gym. And through The Vegan Gym, she offers two programs, The Vegan Women's Circle and Menopause Mastery. In this episode, we talk about her plant-based journey, how she discovered plant-based nutrition. We talk about her previous career as an ENT surgeon, why she decided to become a physician, what led her to change careers. And we talk about her journey with fitness, how she became an IFBB bikini pro and started competing in bodybuilding events. We also talk about resistance training, why it's so important throughout life and especially important as you get older. And we talk about menopause and what she wants women to know about their menopause journey. We also talk about what she thinks causes people to stumble the most when they're trying to change their lifestyle and where she suggests that newbies start if they are new to resistance training. It's a wonderful conversation. You're going to love Dr. Balcom. She's so calm. Her voice is so soothing. She's so wise. She has a lot to say that I think that you'll really appreciate. So I really appreciate you being here to listen to this episode. Thank you so much. Have a very plantastic day. And now let's welcome Dr. Daphne Balcom.
The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional.
Dr. Daphne Balcom, welcome to I Am Human. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Dr. Yami, thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here. I've been listening to you for years.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I got to meet you in person at the Plant-Based Prevention of Disease Conference. You did a fantastic job with your lecture there. I was really into it. Very, very nice material that you presented. But before we get to some of those concepts, I want to go back and learn more about your plant-based journey. How did you discover plant-based nutrition?
Well, it was late in coming, unfortunately. So I have had multiple careers. Didn't learn anything about plant-based in medical school. But while I was working with the YMCA of Greater Kansas City, I learned about the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. And it was through ACLM at one of their annual conferences that heard about plant-based medicine, heard about plant-based nutrition, saw the game changers, a light bulb went on, and it's been my journey ever since.
And how long ago was that?
2018.
Okay, so that's pretty recent for you. You hit the ground running. Sounds like once you learned all of these concepts. So what changed for you once you discovered plant-based nutrition? And I asked this of all of my healthcare providers and physicians, was it shocking that you hadn't learned it before?
It was very shocking. It was actually very frustrating that I hadn't learned this before. When I did the exploration and did the deep dive, so I initially came into plant-based nutrition from a health perspective, and it was, again, seeing the pre-screening of the game changers, then looking at the literature, I pretty much went deep into, this is what I need to be doing right away for me, because I have a history of autoimmune disease. I have a history, at the time, I was achy. I was in my 40s. I was going through lots of different midlife changes. And I just felt amazing when I removed animal products from my diet. I was already dairy-free because I'm dairy intolerant, or at least I realized that I was dairy intolerant, but I could not shout from the rooftops loud enough. Once I started seeing the changes in myself, my adult acne went away, my recovery from my workouts was better. All of the things you hear and you think, no, that's not really the case. It's real. And I felt, at that point, I felt obligated that I had to share with others that this was something that we all should be doing. And then as I started understanding the ethics and what we're doing to animals and the planet, I was all in.
Yeah, it was just more and more reasons that kept adding up, right? Yeah. So it's like, oh my goodness. Had any of your healthcare providers ever mentioned it to you as a way that you could help any of your symptoms?
None. No. Nutrition was really never raised for anything as part of my own healthcare journey. So no, nothing about plant-based nutrition.
And that's so common, right? It's so common in medicine, even when we think that there's some things that are so obvious, right? That it should be as part of this profession. It's just not even discussed. We're good about talking about medications. We're great about talking about surgery. We're not great yet about talking about diet and lifestyle and how it can be used to prevent, potentially reverse some chronic conditions.
Agreed.
So you also come from a very active lifestyle. I want to jump to that first because I definitely want to learn about your other careers, but because this was pretty more recent than I thought. So you've already had so much experience in bodybuilding and just being super active. So for you, it must have just been a really sharp contrast because you're so in tune with your body and you're used to how your body feels. So tell me what it was like being an IFBB bikini pro and competing in bodybuilding events and that part of your life.
That part of my life came late. So I didn't start competing until I was in my 40s, which may seem surprising to a lot of people, but I was going through a lot of life events. I treated myself to personal training as part of my, I'll call it recovery, and really starting to reinvest in myself. And my personal trainer was an IFBB figure pro. And so she was training some other women to get on the stage. And I thought, oh, this sounds fun. Let me give it a try. I didn't really understand what it entailed. And at the time I was an omnivore, but the community, the focus on really getting in tune with my body, the fact that I could do something competitive, but I didn't have to align my schedule with anyone else's because at the time I was traveling a lot for work. It was just a great way to have a goal. So setting a goal that was specific, it was measurable, was time-bound, it allowed me to focus on my nutrition, my physical activity, because I was not, I had gone through a phase of my career where I spent a lot of time on planes and hotels, eating food that I won't really ever want to revisit again, and not focusing on me. So that refocus on me was great. It took me 7 or so years to earn my pro card, but my best competition performance actually came after I became plant-based. So the myth that you can't gain muscle, be competitive in this sport as a plant-based athlete, we all see lots of examples knowing that that's not the case. But as I transitioned myself, I was a little nervous about, am I going to lose all my muscle? And instead, it was just easier for me to maintain my physique. And because my recovery was so much better, I could train so much harder.
That's so fascinating. But I love how you were able to see both sides of it. Because when you're bodybuilding, there's a big emphasis on protein, right?
Oh,
and
yes.
So you probably were eating even more than you were before of meat and those kinds of things. And so then it was a really good way to see the difference in how you felt in your body, because you had a big amount of animal protein and going to no animal protein and seeing like, okay, I feel better. I still can maintain my muscle and I can perform even better.
Not only the performance, but even my lab. So I had the benefit of having baseline, even though I didn't know at the time I was getting a baseline, things like my TMAO, my lipid panel. My biometrics today look better than they did when I was 40, and now I'm 57. I mean, I am blessed that I actually found this, because I think it has given me, I feel younger than I've ever felt. I just feel great. But having that contrast was very important, because it allowed me to have the conversation with others who mainly had an animal protein-based diet to say, you can do this too. Let's look at it being plant forward. You don't necessarily have to go all in, but you won't lose your gains if you make this investment in yourself.
I also love how you heard about the competition. You're like, oh, this sounds fun. Not realizing it's like literally one of the hardest things to do ever. Like, wow, it's a lot of hard work, but seems like you're a very high achiever and you're used to doing hard things. So in retrospect, do you feel like it's some of the hardest work you've done, or putting into perspective and other life achievements you've had, it's not as bad as people think?
It was hard. I called it a second job, because working full time and then prepping my meals, going to the gym, doing everything I needed, especially as a competition was approaching, and not being overly grumpy, it was hard. There were definitely times when I thought, is this worth it? But I did it for me. I wasn't doing it. There wasn't financial gain. There wasn't, it was always, can I be a little better than I was the last time? And so that motivation just allowed me to be a little bit relaxed. And it wasn't as if, you know, no one was dying, as I frequently say. So I could do it and had fun, meet some amazing women in the process, and get an insight into a group of athletes that really I respect highly, because it is very hard.
Yeah, it requires a level of commitment and consistency that most people just are not going to be willing to do. Not that I feel most humans can do it, but I feel like most people aren't willing to do it, because like you said, it's like not pleasant. You know, I think the hardest thing for me, like I'm a doer, so I can get myself and do the things and set up my schedule in a way that allows me to do the things I need to do. But I think the hardest thing for me would be like, I'm hungry. I want to eat more, you know, like, you know, having that really strict diet to make sure that you're staying in your calorie goals for, you know, the goals that you have for this show. I think that would be the hardest part for me, for sure.
The nutrition's hard, but you've done an Ironman. So I know that you can do hard things. And by training for 3 sports is really hard. So
Yeah. I've learned a lot. I've learned so much. Like, it's been one of the most powerful lessons in my life to train for a 70.3 Ironman. Like, wow, it's taught me so much. So, okay, well, let's go back to your previous career as a surgeon. I'm so curious about this. Why did you become a physician in the first place? And what prompted you to change career paths?
I remember when I was a little girl wanting to be a physician. The only time I didn't, and it probably wasn't that I didn't, there was a time when I also wanted to be an astronaut, but probably more a physician astronaut. But I love the human body. I think it's the most amazing thing. I love physiology. I love helping people. And I think combine those three loves are what drew me to the field of medicine.
And how did you pick your specialty that you started in initially?
So I trained at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which is one of the top, they have one of the top, if not the top, I'm a little biased, otolaryngology head and neck surgery programs in the world. Otolaryngology is, if you think about everything that's concentrated from here up, your sight, your smell, your taste, how you meet the world, you are impacting how you hear, your balance. There's so much there, and there's so many ways that you can help people that having a little bit of medicine, having some surgical skills, it was a great mix. And the people at UPMC that I work with were incredible. So I think I chose it in part. It was either otolaryngology, orthopedics, and I love the otolaryngology faculty, and really they embraced me. And it was a career that I could see myself doing for years.
And so then what happened?
then reality set in. So I did my fellowship in head and neck reconstruction. So after I completed my residency at UPMC, spent a year doing reconstructive surgery in Portland, Oregon, at Oregon Health Sciences University. And my focus at the time was post-cancer reconstruction. So I was the free flap doc, and working with cancer patients is a privilege, I would say, because you meet people, especially from a reconstructive surgeon's perspective, because by the time they got to me, they had frequently failed chemotherapy, radiation. And so a lot of the combined procedure in terms of my partner removing the tumor, I would come in and put them back together again. It was really their last chance in many regards. But it was also very draining. Medicine is a hard career. And I think as a female surgeon, it's hard. And as a reconstructive surgeon, I remember one night going back to my office, I always stayed in the hospital to check my flaps afterwards, sitting on the couch in my office and just thinking, I don't know if I can do this forever. And that was a time when I started exploring other options as a career. And my transition, I went from full-time clinical practice. I actually was working for a technology company as my first transition. And that was scary because your identity as a physician is tied to healing people. And when you step away from that, people are always like, are you still a doctor? Or you're not doing that anymore? Or after how many years of training that you're not full-time in the OR, why did you take that path? But I did not want to be someone who was not happy and couldn't meet every single patient with enthusiasm and just joy. And I didn't want it to feel like a job. And that's where I was, and knew that partly to save myself, I had to do something else. So had a career in technology, spent about 10 years doing healthcare technology. That was when meaningful use was at its peak, and so was very busy with EMR implementations, population health. Had a second career after that in population health. So I went from working for Cerner to working for the YMCA, and was the kind of their chief wellness officer for several years before working for another health system in population health. So I've had three or four careers, but they've all been centered around helping people, whether moving from the individual to the population, to the community, focused on health.
Wow, that's incredible. And I agree. Like, I've wanted to be a doctor since I was 3 or 4 years old. So it really does become a part of your identity. But I think as part of our human journey, we have to learn that we don't need to attach ourselves to a certain identity, because when we do, that's actually limiting. And that over attachment is unnecessary because we're eternal. Mm-hmm. So there are so many things we can do. And so I think it is a journey in itself, learning to let go of some of these things we feel can be so important as part of our identity, but are no longer serving us that way. So thank you for sharing that. Well, tell me a little bit about your passion for fitness. Did it begin during that time that you said that you got the personal trainer? Was it before then? Tell me more about that.
I was an athlete in high school. So I ran everything up to the 800 meter and fell off in college and medical school. I definitely focused on my studies and didn't necessarily focus on my fitness. I was the occasional gym rat. I may go do the elliptical. I may go for an occasional jog. I was doing my PhD. I actually was part of a rowing team. So I was the cox and got to do land training with the rowing team, which was a lot of fun. But medical school and residency in particular, I pretty much let it go. And end of my first year of my residency, I decided, oh, I'm going to start running again. And I actually tore my Achilles. Had a complete tear in my left Achilles, realized, well, got to be a little careful because it's hard to get around the hospital in a boot. So again, put that aside for a while. But I was probably when I got back in that 40-year-old time period and decided to get a personal trainer that I refocused. And previously, I won't say that I had really understood the importance of resistance training. A lot of what I did was cardio. 3 sets of 15 reps with 10 pounds and didn't really gain much muscle. But it was working with my coach, and after I wasn't working with the coach, really understanding more about the benefits of resistance training and mainly training myself, that I started to put on more muscle.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good time to talk about that. Let's talk about resistance training and why it's so important. And I think we're hearing more and more about it, especially for women as they're aging, perimenopausal, menopausal. Mm-hmm. Why should we be paying attention to and including resistance training into our regimens?
I would start the conversation in the teens, in particular because we're seeing more of our teens being overweight and obese. So 20s, 30s is an optimal time to put on some lean muscle, strengthen your bones. And ladies, if anyone listening, you're not going to get big. I mean, as much as we would love to put on muscle at a greater rate than we do naturally, it's not something that is going to happen to you unless you are enhanced. So if you're a newbie, you'll definitely have newbie gains in terms of seeing that muscular development, seeing those strength gains. But muscle has multiple functions. It is great for your metabolism. It's a good sink for glucose. It helps your insulin sensitivity. So whether you're younger or whether you're midlife, muscle is important as part of good cardiometabolic health. You know, you may hear things like, you know, strong thighs save lives, or, you know, having that extra muscle may also be correlated with improved brain health, improved longevity, lots of different things that we're understanding that having strong muscle, strong bones will reduce your risk of frailty as we grow older. That's why I think women need to understand that 20s and 30s to start. Sustain it going through perimenopause, menopause. It'll definitely become more challenging during the years when your estrogen is declining, but it's not impossible. And, you know, going back to your comment about the fact that tying yourself to an identity is actually restrictive, tying yourself to what is a natural process for our body, perimenopause and menopause don't mean you're going to get fat. They don't mean you're going to lose muscle. They just mean that there is an increased propensity for those things to occur. But if you understand that movement is medicine, muscle is actually an endocrine organ, and that you are in control of your future, that's why I encourage women to incorporate resistance training as part of their movement program.
Yeah, and it's never too late, because I feel like there's so many people, like you said, we heard the cardio message. So a lot of people know how to get into the gym. They know how to do their walking, their running, the elliptical, whatever. but they never quite got comfortable with the resistance. I think that's very common. So it's never too late. And you're right. I mean, people are always like, oh, I don't want to lift too heavy because I'm going to get too big. I'm telling you, I've been strength training like 4 days a week for 3 years. And so I do not look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, you do not.
What Dr. Baska means by enhance means taking steroids and taking substances to artificially make your muscles bigger, which I know that the listeners aren't doing that. So don't worry about that. I think you really do have to learn how to increase your weight over time, you know, that adaptation happens. So you can't just stay the same weight forever, do the same thing. It's not going to be making that difference that you need to build that muscle. And what I think about it right now, the way I'm thinking about it is that I'm building like a muscle stockpile, because as you get older, the way that your body changes, you're going to start losing it. And so you want to build up that stockpile so that you are fighting that frailty later. You're less likely to fall. If you fall, you're less likely to break things. And it just helps you live that long, healthy life, stronger, more stable, so that you can do all the activities that you want to do into your 80s and 90s. You know, like I'm seeing now examples of people in their 90s that they don't have that gait that you expect for older people because they've been doing their resistance training. Their muscles are strong. So they're walking, they're, you know, they're doing great. And so I think we need to have that image of what's possible and not that image of what we're used to seeing of like people in wheelchairs and rocking chairs that can't move anymore because they weren't using their muscles.
100% agree. And that progressive overload, to your point about you need to challenge, it's a term called progressive overload. It's important because that's how you continue to grow. There's a natural decline in our muscle after age 30. It'll get a little bit faster as we move into our 50s and 60s. But, you know, rather than having a decline like this, you can have a more shallow slope. And that's where combining walking, because I think walking is a great exercise, with resistance training, which doesn't necessarily mean you have to go to the gym. As you know, we can do a great workout in our hotel room. You have your body, which is a great resistance organism or a great resistance weight. And then push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, squats, make the movements functional, use multiple joints, multiple large muscle groups, and you can get a great workout anywhere.
And what I tell people is that consistency is key. So only if you can only start with 1 day a week, do one day a week, but do it every week. Just start there. And that's how I started because I had so much resistance to getting back and lifting weights that I also had to get a personal trainer to just get that accountability. And I was doing it only 1 day a week. And from that, I saw results. And then slowly I was like, okay, I'm ready to add a second day, a third day. And now I'm up to 4 days a week, consistent and dedicated because now I love maintaining the results and seeing the results of my body. So after a while, the habit becomes easier because you get that positive feedback from it, you know? But at the beginning, even if you could just do 1 day a week, that is better than 0 days a week. Just stay consistent with it.
I mean, it's been great that you've shared your journey on your podcast because listening to you over the years, it's been great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And I mean, I'm serious. I was like, well, I just did not like that feeling of my muscles burning in that way. Like I was definitely a cardio junkie. Like I love that breathlessness and I love the endorphins I get after cardio, but that burn in the muscles, it took me a long time. But once I developed that, you know, psychological connection to the way it feels when I'm working out and the results I get, now I don't mind it. Now I will say, and I will go on record to say this, Dr. Bascom, Bulgarian split squats, I will never like those. I don't care how many times I do those. Check with me in 3 years to see if I like those yet. But I think that is the one exercise that I will put it off and make excuses not to do it.
Even more than burpees?
Besides that, I do pretty good. Oh, I don't even do burpees. So yeah, maybe burpees would be worse, but I don't even try those.
Well, next time we're at a conference, we'll work out together.
Okay, sounds good. That'll be fun.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Renting from Armoire is perfect for me because I love fashion. I get bored easily. I love to try new things with low commitment, and I'm also a minimalist who is budget conscious. Clothing rental just makes sense. It's so fun. You get to try new styles that you may not be brave enough to buy and keep forever, and your wardrobe stays fresh and updated. We live in a small old house with tiny closets that get cluttered easily, but I love clothes. I don't want to compromise. I want to look cute and feel great, and with clothing rental, it's a win-win. My first shipment of rental items arrived quickly, and all my items were neatly folded, clean, and ready to wear. The first item I tried on was a pair of overalls from Wild Fang, and I've already worn them 3 times because they're adorable and so soft and comfy. Today, I'm wearing a beautiful floral linen wrap dress from Yumi Kim, and I feel so feminine. It's really elevated my mood. I have 4 more items to try this week, including some cute corduroy wide leg ankle pants, a pair of super wide leg jeans, a sophisticated midi dress, and a puffy sleeve V-neck sweater. Getting dressed in the morning is exciting, and I feel great all day. There are so many reasons to try Armoire. First and foremost, you'll always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's affordable. They have many plans to choose from, depending on how often you'd like to swap out your outfits, but it could actually save you money in the long run. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, letting it sit in your closet for years until you finally donate it. It also feels good to support a company that is women-founded and women-led. And finally, Armoire can help you define your personal style. It gives you recommendations based on your body type and what you already like, but it also gives you the freedom to explore different styles you may not otherwise buy. If you've never tried something like this before but feel intrigued, I recommend that you give it a try. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Dr. Yami. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/DRYAMI, to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, well, let's talk about menopause. And what have you learned about menopause through coaching other women, your own journey, that you feel called to teach women?
I knew nothing about menopause. I'm currently have the benefit of working with, probably over, my current cohort is maybe 60 plus women. So we launched a menopause mastery program at the beginning of the year for, as part of the educational program in our Vegan Superhero Academy at the Vegan Gym. And one of the reasons was what I heard from a lot of the women we coach about this midlife period of time when they're struggling with their weight, they're struggling with their energy, they're struggling understanding, is this real or am I just going crazy? So, I mean, by no means was I an expert, and I still don't claim to be the expert, but I took a deep dive in terms of developing this course because my goal is to empower women. One, if you're in your 30s and 40s, to understand and prepare for what's coming. If you're in your 40s to 50s, understanding what perimenopause is so that you can have cogent conversations with your care team, informed, and you're not being told what to do, but it's a collaborative decision around what are my options and here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm experiencing. Here, as we sit down and talk about this, what should or could I be doing to mitigate this, including plant-based nutrition? And then for women post-menopause, how can you continue to thrive as you, our hormones have changed, we know that, but to me, I see that as a new beginning, not as an ending. You know, medical school, I don't remember learning about menopause, except that it was a thing. We had a women's hospital in Pittsburgh. So a lot about menstruation, a lot about pregnancy, and then it just kind of stopped.
I mean, isn't that interesting though? Because it's like a really big part of life. And for women, especially since we live pretty long, it's a long time in our lives that we're postmenopausal. But I feel like perimenopause threw me for a loop too, because I wasn't familiar with this whole roadway, the whole pathway to menopause. I thought it was just like, okay, now you're in menopause. Like, I didn't realize that the on-ramp can be its own set of symptoms. And so I was also very confused. What's going on? Why am I feeling this? And blaming myself too. What am I doing wrong? What do I need to optimize? These kind of things. And then once I figured out, oh, okay, it's perimenopause, I was upset about it. Okay. Because I did feel like you get to this point in life and you feel like, okay, I finally understand my body. Everything's predictable. I've got this. I'm ready to, like, you know, amp up my career. And then your body's like, ha ha, now I'm going to change everything on you. You know? It's like, I was a little bit frustrated, angry about that. But then once I figured out, okay, well, this is just part of my next phase that I'm my on-ramp to my next phase, I was able to say, okay, what are the things that I can do to help myself feel as good as I can during this transition period? But I think each woman too has to learn how to tune into their bodies and recognize that too, because every person's experience is a little different.
And not to, I mean, to your point, most of us didn't know. And I had an IUD for years. And when you define it as the final menstrual period, well, I haven't had a period in 10 years. I don't know. Did I? Maybe. But when I started, I mean, I remember being in meetings and in my jacket, you know, looking all professional. And then you're like, oh no, I'm having a hot flash. And the initial was embarrassment because you're thinking, what are people thinking about me? After a while, I was just like, I don't give a hoot. This is who I am. I'll take off my jacket. I know how to layer. Yes, maybe I need to wipe my brow because I've got sweat running down my face. But I needed to reframe how I thought of my body, because it wasn't that my body was punishing me. I needed to work with where my body was and understand how to sleep differently, understand how to fuel differently, understand how to dress differently so I could take off layers if need be, the tricks to navigate the brain fog. If I did have that forgetfulness, so putting the checklist on the door was a real thing for me so that I didn't walk out the house without something. It was a huge change.
That mindset part is so important too. You know, like, okay, how do I adapt? How do I help myself get through this transition? But I think for me, the brain fog was the most, it was actually the first symptom. And I didn't know for a long time that it was my first symptom. Like, I kept telling my husband, I was like, I think I'm developing early onset Alzheimer's. I couldn't recall certain words, but then I started noticing it would always get worse right before my period. And so I think my hormones were already dropping, but then that was even like the sharper drop, you know, those times where I could not think. Like, I used to feel so sharp, and then I'm less sharp and less sharp and less sharp. And so I think being patient with that and just, you know, letting things unfold, but also getting help too. So being open to talking to your healthcare providers about getting help for these symptoms as well.
And since we both have read on, recognizing too that cardiovascular disease is still what kills most women. If you're going through menopause early, and so you have an early decline in estrogen, they're thinking about what can I do to protect my heart, to protect my brain, to protect my bones. So it's not just symptom management, although that's a big part of it, but it's for every system, every cell in our body has estrogen receptors. What can I be doing to mitigate that decline in estrogen so that my cardiovascular risk is not increased postmenopause, so that I'm not at risk for osteoporosis? It's all integrated. And it's a huge part of women's health. So my goal is to educate women, because most women, just like you and I, did not know. And empowering them is one of my primary goals.
Yeah. I think women are so good at that too, though. I think once we realize, okay, if you haven't already been serious, now's the time to get serious, ladies, because we do have that natural feeling of like, okay, I want to be around for my kids. I want to be around for my grandkids. Who's going to take care of my husband if I'm not here? You know, so I need to take care of myself. These are the things that I can do. And now that I'm entering the stage of life, my risk goes up. If I'm not being mindful of what I'm eating and how I'm moving, and if I'm doing my cardio, if I'm doing my resistance training, if I'm being more careful about going to bed on time, like, it becomes more important. And you realize whenever you do have these lifestyle habits and behaviors in place, it does help you feel better too. So it becomes a higher priority. Like, no, I'm not adapting my sleep for this reason. Like, I'm still going to go to bed on time. It's not worth it for me to stay up for this because I want to feel good tomorrow. I want to get good sleep. I want to support that circadian rhythm. So thank you for doing that. And thank you for educating us and giving us information so that we can make the decisions to help ourselves feel better. Where do you feel like most people stumble when they are trying to change their lifestyle? Where do you think they struggle with the most?
I think the biggest struggle is mindset. In our coaching program, a lot of what we focus on is, especially when I'm thinking about the women we coach, feeling that you have a growth mindset. So you can, maybe you can't yet, but you can. Two, that perfection is the enemy of good. So we all have this perfectionist tendency, and sometimes a black and white, you know, either I'm going to do it or I'm not. And if I can't do it 100%, then I'm just, you know, I'm throwing everything out the door. I didn't eat well today. Well, I'm just going to give up. Or I didn't get my exercise in. Well, it's all, you know, I've messed up everything. To your point, understanding your mindset and understanding that what you think has an influence on what you do, and that consistency and that habit formation, that's where I think a lot of people struggle. And really focusing on mindset, especially that growth mindset, that there's nothing you can't do. Maybe you can't do a pull-up today. I mean, you didn't think you could do a 70.3 3 years ago. So it's helping people understand that you can. Let's figure out a path to get you towards your goals, and then removing those limiting beliefs, helping break down that black and white thinking about I'm either doing it perfect or I'm not, and understanding that there may be some gray, but developing, seeing who you are going to become and becoming that person. And a lot of it is consistency and accountability, and sometimes just a little bit of, you know, you have to have a little bit of vulnerability to say, oops, maybe things didn't go as planned this week, or life got in the way this week, starts again tomorrow.
Yeah. And, you know, approach it from a point of curiosity, like it's an experiment. Oh, okay. This is what happened. This is how this got set up in a way that didn't support my goals. Next week, one of the things I can do to prevent that is this, or this is what I can have ready in case that, you know, occurs to me again. So whenever we approach it from that curiosity, I think it helps. The other thing that I found, especially with my Ironman journey, is having patience. Because as Americans, and you know, probably a lot of people that are high achievers, we want things quickly. And some things are not going to come quickly.
No.
Like I knew that for my Ironman, I was going to have to start training almost a year ahead of time. And because I knew that, I was willing to do it. But I think that for weight loss and for health, people think, oh yeah, I change in 1 week. I should be good, you know, but knowing that, okay, I'm going to keep doing this for as long as it takes. I may take a step back before I take two steps forward. That was definitely my experience with swimming. Let me tell you, I can't tell you how many times I cried out of frustration. Like, how am I slower this week than I was last week? I don't understand this. But that happens with our diet and lifestyle too. Like sometimes we do things and we think that if we don't get things fast, we're just not going to do it. But then 2 years, you look back and you're like, oh yeah, I started that. I only did it for a month and I gave up because I wanted it fast. If you would have stayed consistent and kept learning for 2 years, you would have been way further ahead. So further, right? Oh my gosh, my son corrects me. Is it further or farther? It's further ahead, right? So anyway, I think that impatience, it steals our dreams sometimes.
It does.
And so I think learning that lesson of like, just let it take how long it needs to take. And be patient with it.
And with the impatience comes comparison. So don't compare yourself. I mean, I would love to be able to bike and swim. Not my strengths, but I really do believe that comparison and the impatience. Well, she did it in 30 days. Why can't I do it in 30 days? You are on your journey. You have to set your own path.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And knowing that there's so many things that bring you unexpected rewards, you know, like I always compare it because it's the thing that's most fresh in my mind. But going through this Ironman journey has brought me so many unexpected rewards. It wasn't just the grinding on my stationary bike. It wasn't just the hours in the pool. It's the mindset. It's the discipline that I've learned. So whenever we go through these things, we think it's only for one goal, but really it's probably helping you in so many different ways in your life that you don't even realize until later.
Agreed. And you're setting an example for the people around you.
Oh yeah. And showing them what's possible.
Exactly.
And that they have permission to go on their own journey to achieve what they want as well. Okay. So before we get to the wrap-up questions, where do you suggest newbies start if they are new to resistance training? I know you talked about even body weight stuff, but where can they go if they've never done, they don't have a personal trainer, maybe that's not within their budget. How do they get started?
So some simple resource. I mean, the hard part is there's so much access to content online, but finding good content online, that's the hard part. So if you, one good resource and a shameless plug, we, the Vegan Gym, we provide lots of free resources because that's our mission, is to help 1 million vegans get fit and healthy so that people can see the art of the possible in terms of what we can do with our bodies. But if you are just trying to initiate any type of movement program, I'm saying movement, not necessarily training, start by going walking. You can easily increase your activity by walking. Walking is probably underrated as a form of movement. You can do it anywhere. It doesn't require a large investment. And as long as you have safe spaces, you have a good pair of shoes, you can do that. I do think body weight. So if you go on to and you look at sites such as bodybuilding.com, Muscle and Strength, even the ACLM has some basic resources to help people understand what are some basic body movements that you can do that are functional, a squat, getting out of a chair, you can do push-ups from your knees. You can do many different things even around the house that don't require an investment. Those are good resources and those are places to start. I'm happy to share that. There are frequently also, you may find if you're in my age group, you may find AARP actually has their newsletter, their website. They have awesome resources that you can understand how to incorporate movement resistance training safely into your health routine. And the same with organizations, community centers, the YMCAs. You may be able to find free opportunities to have an introductory program, because once you learn the basics, you can start to take those initial steps yourself. And then if you're able to invest greater, maybe spend some time, even one or two sessions with a coach. But even if you can't, record your own form. Set up your phone, record your form, because you can get that feedback, even looking at, here's how it's supposed to look online, here's how I look. Am I squatting appropriately? Am I hip hinging? Are there things I'm not doing? There's some very basic self-correction that you can do as part of your own self-education.
I love that. Those are all great tips. And yeah, I think that once, especially if you're just never done it before, once you get familiar with it and you start feeling comfortable, then you can start adapting and increasing on your own. It's just getting in there and getting the newbie nerves out, like, oh my gosh, I feel like an idiot. I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, so just get in there and learn, and you know, you'll get comfortable with it soon enough. So very good. Thank you so much. What do you wish more people knew?
I wish more people knew that lifestyle matters, and that if you are thinking about your meals, your movement, your mindset, sleep, stress, and social connection, that you can make impactful changes in your health and well-being that will not only be positive for you, but positive for your family and positive for people around you.
That's so beautiful. How do you define success in this lifetime?
To me, it's living aligned with my values and being an example of, I call it, in, you know, I aspire to inspire, being an example of how I feel a good life could be. And maybe touching, even if I touch one person, I feel like that has been success in life.
I love that. That's beautiful. Is there a goal or dream that has evaded you, or something that you have left on your bucket list that you're willing to share with us?
I've got a long bucket list.
Oh, I love that.
I would love to explore Africa. I've not been there, just to see, learn more about my heritage and see, it's one continent I haven't explored. I also would love to get back to Australia and New Zealand. I've been there for work, but never had an opportunity to spend much time. You know, one other thing on my bucket list would be just spending more time in the community talking about plant-based nutrition.
That's amazing. Well, I have been to Ethiopia twice, but that's the only place I've been in Africa. And we definitely want to go back and explore more, but it's a really big continent. So there's a lot. There's a lot to explore there. I love all that. What does it mean to be human?
Being human means that I understand that I'm an imperfect creature in an imperfect world. And I strive to become a better person and to better the world around me every single day, but acknowledging those gifts of imperfection.
Beautiful answer. I love that. All right, Dr. Bascom, please tell us where we can connect with you, where we can find out more about the vegan gym, everything that you offer, your menopause program. Where can we find all that?
I am on Instagram at Wingman Daphne. You can find me, my email is daphne@theveganjim.com. Our website is theveganjim.com. I'm always receptive to anyone who is trying to improve their health through, in particular, plant-based nutrition, but just being plant positive as a way to impact health, animals, and the environment, and would love to help you become part of our mission, which is to make a healthier world and a healthier planet.
Oh, that's amazing. So for the menopause program, is it only if you're a member of the vegan gym, or, okay, perfect. So then they would have to find out more about joining that, and then they would have access to the menopause program.
Great. Yes. And we're about to launch a new program called the Vegan Women's Circle, so more to follow. But if you are interested in our 12-week, it's 3 months, menopause mastery program, you do have to become a member of the Vegan Gym.
It looks like an amazing program with such a very enthusiastic team. And so it looks like a fun place to be. Okay. Well, I encourage everybody to look into that if they're interested. Dr. Bascom, thank you so much for everything that you do, all the ways that you support us, and for sharing your journey and all your wisdom today on the episode. I appreciate you so much, and I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Dr. Yami, thank you for this opportunity and thank you for the goodness you bring in the world. I am Daphne Bascom and I am human.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host, Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.